A reading from Matthew 22. And again Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered. Everything's ready. Come to the feast.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry. He sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find.' And those servants went out into the roads, gathered all whom they found, both bad and good, so the wedding hall was filled with guests. And when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen.' O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, this was one heck of a different era for sure. In Jesus' day, weddings weren't run by the women, but the men. The character at a wedding wasn't the bride, but the groom. You can tell that the men were in charge because it was about meat and wine. There was more groomzilla than bridezilla. Now, you know the story. You've all heard it many times, so I'm going to try to cut a bit to the chase. King throws a wedding party for his son. A-listers send back their RSVPs. It becomes painfully clear they have other plans. King sends his servants out door to door for a personal invitation. They pay no attention now either. One went off to his farm to work, another to his cubicle. Some actually seized the servants, beat them up, and even killed them. And these were the invited guests. Now their fate is sealed. Not good to be on the bad side of the king. But remember here, it's not that the king wouldn't have them or didn't want them or never invited them. He certainly did, but they wouldn't go. Imagine how this is from God's perspective. The divine service is his forgiveness party. The feast is ready. The lamb has been slain. The wine has been poured from his side. Come to the feast. Then all the invited guests have more important things to do, or not. Or worse, they turn violent about the thought at all. All over forgiveness, life, and eternal salvation. Now you'll notice a pattern here in Jesus' parables. The unforgiving servant is condemned, even though he's forgiven at first. The invited guests become enemies, even though they have a place at the table. And it's all their own fault. They refuse the king's goodness, so they get the king's wrath. Turn away from the gospel, all that's left is the law. Of course, you don't earn your salvation by your perfect church or chapel attendance. But parties are about receiving, not earning anyway, especially this one. As Jesus tells the parable, the A-listers, of course, are Israel and its religious leaders who are actively rejecting Jesus and in so doing forfeited their seat at his feast. He came to his own, but his own people did not receive him. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone and cornerstone. The king's got a bit of a dilemma now. A-listers won't come, They're actually quite dead. But the feast is still ready. The only thing missing are honored guests. And so he sends out his servants again, this time into the roads and the alleyways, and he has them invite anyone and everyone, the good, the bad, the ugly, the reputable, the disreputable, the least, the lowly, the good is dead, the two-bit hookers, tax collectors, zealots, you name it. And the wedding hall is completely full. And of course, the crowd represents the church, the Israel, the end of times, a gathering of all sorts of the good, the bad, the ugly, the mutts, if you will, sinners of every stripe. But please notice something here. We tend to forget this with this text, because we focus on the guy getting thrown out or the invited guests getting slaughtered. At this point, is there anyone who hasn't been invited? Is there anyone that was left out? No. For all intent and purposes, the entire kingdom was invited. You see, the king is no Calvinist. Do these guests deserve to be there? No, not at the least. In fact, the A-listers, who again, they're quite dead, would probably have been mortified to be at the same party as this bunch of losers. It's grace, it's gift, it's gospel, it's unearned, it's unmerited. The worthy are found unworthy, and the unworthy are declared worthy. That's how it is with this king. Now the king looks over the crowd. And what a crowd it is. The guy in the corner catches his eye without his wedding suit. Remember, these people were just rounded up off the streets. No time to change. We have to assume that the king is handing out William Wheaton's signature tuxes at the front door as they enter. He is crazy good and generous that way. But for some reason, the guy's not wearing his wedding suit. The king confronts him. Hey, buddy, friend, how'd you get in here without a suit? Now, the translation says that he's speechless. What it actually says is that he's silent. Speechless implies he's stunned at getting caught, kind of like being a wedding crasher. Silent suggests that he refuses to even acknowledge the king's presence, much less talk to him. He's caught cold turkey. Now, what should the man have said? You know, you're right. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. That always works in this kingdom. But instead, he refuses to speak to the king and insists on being there on his own terms or not at all. Not a good idea. The point? Dear friends, you come to the feast in the king's clothes or you don't come at all. But all have been invited. And all have been provided with glistening baptismal clothes, brilliantly white, and just your size. You see, to be included is by God's grace. It is His gift to you. To be excluded is entirely your own doing, your refusal, your turning away. This king, he loves you. He will compel you. He will lavish his gifts upon you. He'll put the wedding suit upon you himself. Seat you at his table. He'll feed you with his spoon, but he won't force you to stay. The guests at this table are free. They are not in prison. You may have heard this before, but Luther once quipped that the doors of the church swing in both directions so that those who wish to feast may come and those who wish not to may leave. But be careful. The alternative to the wedding feast is outer darkness, weeping, gnashing of teeth. And it's so entirely unnecessary because everything's been done. Everything's provided. Dear loved ones, remember, you are invited. In fact, every last one of you is already clothed. Look at you. You already have the king's clothes on. You walk wet in them every single day. You're wearing them right now in the name of Jesus. Amen.